I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. For unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your body here on the earth, for the church. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of the church and for your gifts to the church to help it to function and to grow. We just appreciate that so much because we see it as a source of maintaining our relationship with you. And this morning we want to remember especially those in our particular congregation here who may be struggling health-wise in various ways. We think of Lena. We think of Pauline and her family. Just pray that you would be near to them. Pray, too, for Stephanie and Caleb and Lena as they look forward to serving you in other areas, that you would be near to them as they leave and as they serve you. May this be a time of growth in their own personal lives, as well as a time of blessing and ministry to those around them. And I pray, too, for the those who are in the water program, especially the ones from the congregation here, that this would continue to be a source of direction for their lives and an experience that would guide them in their walk and service to you. Lord, I pray for John this morning as he shares. May you minister through him to communicate to us the message that you would have for us this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's good to be here this morning. Blessed to be a part of this congregation. I think we sat in this morning and been blessed already by our devotional this morning. I was just really blessed by that passage that Dave brought to us, and then also our Sunday school lesson, and just being here, being able to listen to those from the water program. And then even Nate could have probably spent the rest of the half hour just continuing giving announcements of things we're doing. We're blessed to be a part of a community, to be part of a group. People who love the Lord and who care about serving Him and also care about each other here. You may know already the title of my message is The Power and Beauty of Community, and I want to speak a little bit about community. I know I've spoke about that earlier a little bit, and I know it's a pet subject of mine, and it's one that I had a hard time deciding I wanted to talk about just because it is a pet subject, and I don't want it to be a pet subject, but I want it to be something from the Word of God and something that doesn't come from me, but comes from the Word of God. And I hope this morning we can dig into God's Word and that the Lord can speak through me, through His Word, about what community is and what it can do and the importance of community. I have a couple goals I want to talk about and what I'd like to talk about this morning. I should mention about 2 years ago, one of the reasons I am speaking on this subject, Nate Kaufman came to me and had asked me to teach summer Bible school. And at that time, I declined because of some other things. And he handed me a note, quite a few notes on things that he thought would be good to hear about and speak about. I'm just going to go over them real quickly. And you could probably say these, my outline probably fits Nate's notes. So he probably gets a lot of the credit to the message this morning. He actually gave me the title, which I don't have that privilege too often, to have somebody give me a title for the message, The Power and Beauty of Community. And this was a couple of things he wanted me to cover. Hopefully we'll cover some of this morning. Attitudes that build and destroy community, the importance of offenses, the role of discipline and sacrifice in community, the role of spiritual gifts in a community, when community experiences crisis, being sheltered by community, do we view it positively or negatively? Givers and takers in the community, or community events such as regular worship service, ministering, serving within the community, whose job is this? I'm sure I won't cover near all of those, and hopefully you can think about that this coming week, this coming year, how you can plug into your community, and how you can be a part of your community. And for members here at Weavertown, I'll say our community is here at Weavertown. Two goals I have this morning and in the message is to help us see the power and beauty in community, is my first goal. And I, the reason I have made this kind of a pet subject of mine is because of my experiences at Bald Eagle. And I've seen the power of group work. I read many books about it. And I think those points that camp uses, and that's like, psychologists using group work throughout the world all originate right here. And the Bible clearly, clearly gives us all kinds of tips and ways that we as a congregation, as a church, can live in community. And the best community possible here in the world we have should be anyways. And I think one of my goals is to talk about that. Community has an incredible amount of power to influence and to impact and to change and to help us grow to the maturity like Christ wants us to. I could give you story after story of change boys, not because their chief was that special or their supervisor or family worker or any one of those things, or not because camp was special, but because they lived in a group and a community where they had the opportunity to grow and change. And the tools that community brings to a person's life is amazing. A second goal I have is to help us appreciate and plug into the community God gave us here at Weavertown, or wherever the community is that God is leading you or you're a part of. First question I want to ask is, what is community? What does it look like? The word community actually isn't found in the Bible. The root word for community is common, which you'll see quite often in the Bible, having things in common. I will say the Bible is full of stories and of verses and instruction on community and how to live in community, even though it doesn't use that word. Lots of examples of people. Well, the Old Testament is full of stories of people who lived in good community and bad community. I think of Dave's series on Jacob. Well, their family was quite a community or quite a group, and obviously a bad community in a lot of ways, and God used them. But we could learn a lot from Jacob's family and the goods and the good and bad things that happened, the chaos they had in their community, and how the Lord is looking for something different for us. I have six simple points about community I want to just bring out right away, kind of in my introduction, about community, and maybe give us a little taste of how I see that community is important and ways, things we should do in community. First one I have is, and I should mention, these 6 points I found it was a message I found and somebody had written, found it on the internet, And it was interesting. These 6 points are 6 points that are used at camp. For you chiefs at camp or people involved in camp, you'll see these 6 points. And they're points directly from the Bible. First one is community is inclusive, not seclusive. And what I mean by that is this basically means that you don't have to be special to join a community. Be part of Weavertown, we don't need to be that special. Or I wouldn't have been able to be a part. And probably some of us can say the same about ourselves. It doesn't take a special person. Now we need to be, as a Christian church community, we need to be born again. And yet we have come with a lot of different gifts and talents and weaknesses and strength that makes a part of a good community. You don't have to be special. It's not a seclusive. In fact, the world's community is always seclusive. God's community isn't. Sometimes we get that a little twisted and we think our community. The world's community, if you're part of a club, you'll have to do exactly what that club says and you'll have to be special to be a part of that. In fact, if you're part of a football team, you'll have to be really good to be part of that one. And you name whatever. You're part of a business venture of some kind. You have to know your business to be a part of that. Most world's communities are seclusive clubs. Weavertown, hopefully, is not seclusive, but can use everybody in different ways. Community is a group that has learned to transcend its individual differences. Next point I'd like to say is a community is realistic, or should I say wise, because it uses more than just my view. It uses all our views, all our ideas, all our thoughts. Now, I don't want to make this seem so broad that we take it out of the Word of God. No, I'm saying, you don't all have the same opinions I have or ways of looking at things I have, and I'm glad you don't. And I'm glad because you can help me and we can help each other. That's the important part of community. In fact, a quote made goes like this. Which kind of group would you expect a wise, realistic decision being made? An arrogant one or a humble one? An arrogant one is where you think yours is the only right one, right? A humble one is where you work with people around you and realize my views aren't the only right views. The second one is a community is a safe place. We can say things, we can make mistakes without getting thrown out. Now, I'm not saying not a place for excommunication, but that doesn't come by excommunication. It doesn't come because of mistakes we make. It comes because of an attitude that we keep and we refuse to let go of. Church, our group, our community should be safe. Safe enough that, yeah, we don't need to be perfect. And if we feel we need to be perfect, we're not living in a community or we're not creating an attitude in a community that we should. In a community, we find commitment. Can't be part of a community unless we're committed to that group. In fact, if we're not committed, we're not going to really function in that group very well. In a community, you'll find a group that can fight gracefully. I love to be a part of a group where I can give an opinion and somebody can stop my opinion and tell me, I don't really agree with that. And yet we can do that because we love each other and care about each other and do it the right way, fight gracefully. In a community, you will find a spirit of peace. The spirit is not a spirit you find in the world. It is unique to true Christian communities. The real sign of a good community is the peace, the way we get along, the way we respect each other, the way we take care of each other. In this message, I'd like to break down the 4 B's of community that I've put together. The first one is biblical basis for community. Next one I'll speak on is the benefits and beauty of community. And the third, the 2 bases of community. And the fourth, the burdens in community. And we'll start with biblical basis for community. There is just, could spend hours on this one alone. I'm going to try to get through this. But I do want to cover this one strongly. From the beginning, since the garden, we were all created for community, and God has given us tendencies and desires for community. The fall destroyed our community. I think we know that. If we want to know what happened to the community at the fall, just take a look at our lives. We are naturally very selfish people. We naturally revolt against community. We naturally try to take care of ourselves, right? And sometimes manipulate and control people around us to get my way. Does that sound familiar? does when I think about it in my life. The Lord's continuing to teach me and help me grow in this. But naturally, since the fall, we try to use our community to get what I want. And that doesn't work in community. But thank God, Jesus' death redeemed our community again. One of the chief things Jesus accomplished with his death was on the cross was the ability to restore our community again. Ephesians 2:16 says this in the ESV, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. Because of Jesus' death on the cross, our community can come together and be restored into a better community. God created us for the community, and Jesus redeemed us. God created us for community, and Jesus redeemed us for community. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now ye are the body of Christ, members in particular. That's Christ redeeming our community. And last of all, heaven, the final redemption for our perfect community. We want to read an interesting chapter in the Bible. We'll read Revelation 21. That's the community we're going to get to spend eternity in. The wonderful community where God is in control, the leader, where we're worshiping him, and where we're getting together. I'm going to read a couple verses there. And I saw a new heaven. And think about this in your community that each one of you will have an opportunity to be a part of if we're sons and daughters of Christ. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, and for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. That sounds wonderful, community. Let me read the next verse, yes. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more pain, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Do you look forward to that community? That is an incredible community. We think of the good things we have at Weavertown. Think of all the pain we have at Weavertown. I'm just glad God has given us a redeemed community, but I can't wait for the day when we can have a community where there's no more pain, no more sin, no more suffering, and we live together peacefully, getting along with each other, no problems to solve, and God being the leader of all that. Let's look at six models of the community of the Bible. Right from heaven, heaven is definitely a model of community. We talked about that already. That's one of the models of the community in the Bible. Let's go to the next model, which is just about exactly parallel, almost strikingly. If you read Genesis 21 and you read, Revelation 21, and you go and read the first book of the Bible, you'll find the Garden of Eden and heaven have a lot of parallels. Both communities that God had set up, good, perfect communities. So the second community we find is the Garden of Eden with God, the Trinity, and with Adam and Eve. Third community, which is the first community, is the Trinity, and I mentioned that already. The fourth community you find in the Bible is the family. And let me just look at that. Found in Genesis 2, you're going to see the establishment of the family. And then also found in Ephesians 5, where you're going to see where Paul talks about the church and the family, or talks about husband and wives and the church, and you see the family as a community. And I think most of you understand that and would see your family as your community, your closest community. But the family is not the bride of Christ. Maybe your closest, you may be closer to anyone in your family than you are to anyone in your church, and yet the church is the bride of Christ, which is, of course, is the next community we'd like to look into. I should mention about the community of the family. If you wonder what the fall did to that community, just keep reading in Genesis chapter 3 in the story of Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel. The next community, I said, is the family. And then the next community is the community of Israel. Interesting stories throughout the Old Testament. All the Old Testament is about the community of the children of Israel, right? And you see all the ups and downs. And it is interesting, maybe I'll read these verses in Genesis 12, verses 2 and 3. And I will make of thee a great nation, I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. There's so much we can learn from the community of children of Israel. And I think about their ups and downs, and I think about how they work together. And when they work together and followed God and took the structure of Leviticus and the structures of Numbers and did what God had asked them to do, and there was none of those diseases, you know that term, they had a wonderful community. But when they walked away from the structures of their community, and they did what? Everybody did what was right in their own eyes, everything fell apart. God used the children of Israel as an example for us and to learn from in community work. And the sixth one I have is the church, the redeemed community, the one we have an opportunity to be a part of. I'm not going to go into a lot of details of that, but if you want to read, and we probably don't have time to read it, but if you want to read about the redeemed community, the early church in Acts 2, verses 42 to 47, just a great verses on what a redeemed community looks like working together. Let's look at verses in the Bible on community. Jesus talked about community a lot. He said, "For where two or three are gathered together in his name, there will I be." He talked about the community or the new kingdom that he's bringing to the earth. The upside down kingdom. That's the community we get to live in. He said, "Do you like living in an upside down kingdom?" The community where our leaders are the servants. The community where we lay down our lives for others. Over and over, we see things getting turned around and turned backwards, turned upside down. Jesus said that in his kingdom, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. He said that whosoever wanted to be great would have to be a servant. That was the kingdom that Jesus talked about. That was the community Jesus talked about. And after Jesus' words, we find Paul's words. And basically, the New Testament is a lot of Paul's writing. Writing who? To the church, about their conflicts and about their problems and things that are going on in their life, and trying to teach them how to do community. The Bible has many verses that talk about. The last thing I wanted to say about basis for community in the Bible is the verses on one anothering. And I'm going to give you a chance as a church right now to name. And let's do this quickly, keep us awake, and also help us think about what are the one anothering verses that you know where God says, bear ye one another's burdens. What are some others? There's probably 30 or 40 in the Bible, and that one anothering that you find in these verses are community. It's doing things for other people. What are some more verses that you find in the Bible? Real quickly, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. More. That's in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 4. Speak good to all men. I didn't even have that one. More. Let's quickly. There's like I said, 30 or 40 in here about one another. Bear ye one another's burdens. Esteem others better than yourself. Keep going. Submit one to another. It's all part of community. It's all part of the opportunity we have as church members to be a part of this or a body of Christ. More. Bear one another's burdens. Love one another. We're getting a whole mixture. Be kind one to another. Be tenderly affectionate one to another. What was that again, Eli? Be in charge? Okay. Sure where that's found. But thinking on the things of others. Sounds like accountability. That's scary. More. Pray for one another. What was that? Forgive one another. We could spend all morning just giving these, because this is what community is, right? Each one of these. And it's a wide spectrum of things in community. I want to move on to the benefits and beauty of community. I'm going to talk about two different points here. The first one is the romantic benefits. I'm using those words because it's the benefits that look good to everybody. It's the one that people can look in our church and say, I want to be part of that. But there's greater benefits. And the next one is Christian benefits. The romantic benefits I look at is things like it feels real good to belong to a camaraderie, to something that is where there's a group of people together all moving the same way. To be a group where we and others are proud of the winning team. That feels good. I call that one of the romantic benefits. It feels good to be part of a community that someone is there for us. I have a hospital bill. I have a baby meal. I have, what are the things we do for each other? I have somebody come visit me when something goes wrong. I have somebody covering for me when I get down. There's many, many things that we as a church do for each other that a lot of people would want to become part of. It feels good to contribute. It also feels good to be part of that. It also feels good to be able to contribute in that. Also, one of the romantic benefits, I'd say, is just the spirit. It feels good to be a part of something big, right? Something good where everybody is part of and excited about. Something powerful about that. Now, I want to talk, the next one I want to talk about, what are the Christian benefits? If you're with me in Ephesians 4, we went over the first 16 verses, and it's almost, I don't know what the word is I want to use there, it's almost scary to read the rest of these verses as a chief in camp and realize that the rest of the verses going down through here are basically things that chiefs at camp often do for their boys or help their group, or I should say the group does for their boys to help them change. Well, this wasn't written for boys at camp. It was written for boys at camp. It was written for me and you too. And basically what it's saying here is that if you want to mature, you want to grow up, be a part of a community. And here's some ways that you can mature and grow up by being a part of the community. Let's look at them. Look at these. There's about five or six things in here, and for you chiefs at camp, you're going to say, boy, this sounds like camp all over. Let's go. Just go down through these verses here quickly. Let's go down to verse 24. That ye put on a new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, putting away lying. So the community helps us learn how to speak correctly and not lie. Does that sound familiar? Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. The community helps us deal with our anger. Verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor working with his hands the things which are good, that ye may have to give to him that needeth. Now that sounds like just something for camp boys. Not really. It teaches us not to be lazy. It teaches us how to use our hands properly. That's what community does. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good in the use of the edifying. A community teaches how to speak correctly. Verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. And then the last verse, of course, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even the community teaches us how to be kind. Those are very practical ease. And you say, well, I'm too good to need any of them. I doubt it. I know at camp we use those to help boys. But these are things that Paul is saying to the church of Ephesus, and I'm guessing it's also for us. That's what a community does. It helps us in those ways. Another Christian benefit, it helps us see, I should make that point again, it helps us mature. I think that's as a Christian benefit. Second Christian benefit, it helps us see Christ in others. The best way for us as humans to see the invisible Christ is to see him work in the lives of people in our community. Do you believe that? I absolutely believe that. When I see Christ working in my brother, it does something for me, and I see Christ in him. And we have that opportunity working together as a community in the church. It's a place for us to pray and worship together. We can do this by ourselves, but I believe God has made us to do this with others also. That's what we come to church for. But it's also more than just that. We say pray. You know, as a community, you have an opportunity to tell your brothers and sisters, pray for me on this. Pray for this. You know, we're constantly praying for each other in different ways and worshiping together. Community gives us that opportunity. Fourth thing, it's a place for us to use our gifts or a place for us to serve. I think we know about that. There's many verses in the Bible that talks about our different gifts and coming together. Community does that. It's a source of accountability and guidance. Quote I found, and this may be a little hard for us to think through, but it said this, community is not a safety net for a tightrope walker. It is the rope itself. Think about that a little bit. We don't just use our community to be that safety net. It's everything. It's the rope we're walking on. We need community more than just for safety. Safety is part of that in the rope we walk on. Last of all, it helps us better witness to the world. Just like a football team wins best by team, so God's community wins best as a group or a team that works together. It's powerful that way. After all, when the world looks in, won't our community look attractive when we are working together as a community? The next point I want to talk about is the basis of community. And I'm not going to have much time to talk about this, but I've observed a lot about counselors and chiefs at camp, and I realized that in community there's two bases, I think. One is relationship, and the other is structure. Some of us tend to be much better at relationships, much better at loving. Some of us tend to be better at creating structure. Both are, I think, loving in their way, but I really do believe those are the two bases. I'm going to just talk about relationship first. In every group without relationship or love, the group is lost. In community, that is the most important basis. 1 Corinthians 13, remember what the book of Corinthians is about? It's the church is not getting along. Paul is coming in and saying, what can we do to help out? And so he writes a letter to the Corinthian church and tells them how to help, tells them how he's going to help them out, or gives them instructions. And we come to Corinthians 13, and what do we find? What do you find in 1 Corinthians 13? The love chapter. It's the crucial basis for a community. We can't help or change others without relationships. At camp, the saying went, if all else fails, we'll keep loving. And that was not without lots of structure and lots of discipline, lots of other things. But when we seemed we couldn't get through with a boy, we just kept loving. And usually, you keep loving, you will impact eventually. We need to believe this, live this in our community. We have to build relationships and out-love those that are in our community. Without this ingredient, we can't be effective, or may I say, we can't even be community. And the next one is structure. One that maybe we should spend more time on, I'm not going to spend much time on it, one that we're losing. I'm not saying here just at Weavertown, I'm just saying world in general. Structure doesn't seem to be very important. It seems to be more important just to love, which, like I said, the most important, but we're forgetting the whole structure part of it. This ingredient has been found in all communities, also, or we might as well give up on trying to be community. Without structure, we can't be community. All communities have some sort of structure. It's what allows and helps us to function. It gives us direction and keeps things from becoming chaotic. What I found at camp with counselors, either they leaned on relationship and didn't worry about structure, or they were very structured and didn't worry about relationship. Good two chiefs, you had both of them where one was more structured and the other more relational. That worked out real well. And I'm sure you find that in your home with your husband and wives too. But what you would find out in a group where there was no structure is chaos. And it's hard to love in the middle of chaos. It's hard to change and mature and grow in the middle of chaos. And I know the Lord is asking us to learn how to do that, but He's also asking us to bring in structure so we can love and so we can work. And I'm not using the word control. There's a difference. So often we react to structure because of the ways we have seen controlling people use it for their own benefit. Structure is not for our benefit, but it's for the group's benefit. It's not to make me look good, but it's for the group's benefit. It's not for me to get my way, but it's so the group can work together. It's also true we react to it just because of our human... let me go back to that point. So often we react to structure because of the ways have seen controlling people use it for their own benefit. But it's also true to say we react to structure just because we're humans. And we don't really like structure keeping us in line. You see, structure sometimes restricts. Structure like love is the basis of community and will bring good community when used like God would have us to use it. But the devil knows the importance of structure, so he uses bad structure or control so people react to it and lose the value of good structure. This is also true of the relationship Satan. This is also true of relationships. Satan has used counterfeits in relationships. He has used relationships or all love as a counterfeit. That's not true love when you give somebody everything they want. That's not, but Satan has convinced, sometimes has convinced us of that, and we have paid for that. That's the counterfeit of relationship. The balance of structure and relationship brings beauty in a community. And the last one I want to talk about is the burdens in a community. And I use the word burdens because I was looking for a B, I'll be honest with you. They're not really burdens, but I'm going to talk about things that seem like burdens maybe. First of all, I do want to say the devil has his counterfeited community, and his counterfeits will bring all kinds of problems. But these come not because of good community, but what Satan would like us to think about community. Satan's counterfeits will be either controlling or so loose that there will be no community left. Interesting, a quote or something said by a friend of mine who had left the Amish church, and he says what he observes is when people have left a pretty sheltered, controlling, they move into a church where there is no structure, where you can do whatever you want, but he said, you know what they lose? They lose community. The further we go away from structure, the less we're going to have community. Now, the further we go away from relationship, the less we're going to have community too. I thought that was kind of an interesting comment. Community requires sacrifice. I'm talking about the burdens now. Most of us don't like that. We know what the words of God says. We know the beauty of sacrifice, but that seems sometimes to us like a burden. We don't want to be part of a community because it's going to require sacrifice of us. Because we're part of a group, we may feel sheltered. And that may seem like a burden too. And I'd like to say, being part of a group, you're not sheltered. And yet, you're still going to focus on your group more than you are all the other groups around you. To be a good group, you're going to have to keep your focuses on your group. That doesn't mean you can't work outside of your group, but your focuses are going to be more on your group, so you're going to feel a little more sheltered. In a community, you'll be required to feel others' pain. One reason I don't always like community, because we're going to have to feel each other's pain. I think that's an important part of the community. Community is not about me, but about our group and about others. Most of us don't like to be part of something that's where it's not about me. In a group, that's not how it is. It's about your group. It's about your community. It's not just you. And that's an important part to remember, but that sometimes feels like a burden, where it's not just about me. In a community, you will be required to use your gifts. Basically, I'm saying you'll be stretched. And that may feel like a burden. In conclusion, I'd like to point out a few ways we can become a better community. First of all, I'd like to say we need to believe in community and in our community and not give up on our community. A big part of community, and maybe this is just final point, a big part of community is not giving up. If you have a problem with your community, make it better. Be the one who stands up and helps your community. Don't just give up on them. If we continue to give up on our communities, we're not going to have a community anywhere we go. I like what John Yu has often said. When people are leaving our church, it's okay to leave. You don't have to be a part of this community. That's not the point that we're trying to make. If God calls you into another community, praise the Lord. But plug into the community that you're in. That's the important thing. If you're part of Weavertown community, plug in. Be a part of them. If God calls you into another community, somewhere else, plug into that community. Community, it's very important to be committed to your community that you're in. Another point I'd like to make is we need to believe in our community so much that we're willing to sacrifice and give to our community. If we believe in our community, if you believe in your community that you're involved in now, give to your community, sacrifice for your community, become a part, be willing to take part in what's going on. What are we willing to do this week for our community here? If you ask yourself that question, my guess is you'll probably have an opportunity to do that. Last one, we need to believe that being part of a community is not just a culture thing. So often we talk about our community as our Mennonite cultured community. Community is not just a culture thing. It is a biblical thing. It's what God has given us. Now, we've been blessed with our community here at Weavertown. We've been blessed to have a community. There's a lot of churches where there's not much community left. Everybody's an individual and just comes, they don't know the people around them. But yet, that's not a Mennonite thing. That's a Christian thing to be a part of a community and to be plugged into that. We have the privilege to emulate a redeemed community. No, not a perfect community, we'll have, not the one we'll have in heaven, but the closest thing to heaven we'll probably get here on earth. And I like, here in closing, I like to say this. The gift of community is given to us by God, needs to be passed on. It's not just for our generation, but for every generation until Christ comes back and gives us that perfect community. I look forward to that. And I want to challenge each one of you here at Weavertown and visitors to plug into your community that you're involved in. Become a part of it and be committed. Community is a powerful tool that can bless people around us. And someday, each one of us, if we meet Christ in heaven, we'll be a part of the greatest community we've ever lived. If you can, let's kneel together for prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for being a God that we can trust and love, one that puts us in a community and gives us an opportunity to see you in others. Thank you, God, for the community here at Weavertown, and thank you for what you've done in our midst. Thank you also for what you've done individually in each one of our lives. Just pray that we as a community could be a blessing to each other and a blessing to those around us. Just pray for the many needs now here at Weavertown. Think of Pauline and Loncho and their family, especially right now. Just give them your peace and just pray that we as a community here could bless them and reach out to them. Just pray for all the many other needs around us here. And pray for the ones who aren't here this morning, the ones in ministry or the ones wherever they're at. Just pray that you would be near them and just give them a good week. Just pray that you would just guide and direct our lives here. In Jesus' name, amen.